bellowed, blind Barnabas
stood on the way.
Blind Barnabas stood on the way. Oh, blind Barnabas
stood on the way.
Oh, Lord, have mercy on me. Bellowed, blind Barnabas
stood on the way.
Blind Barnabas
stood on the way.
The Dorothy Patton Fine Arts Series, now it's called simply Patton Performances, has a particularly strong lineup this year, especially the music. In addition to the three groups featured in the main series, they've added two more young performers for what they're calling Patton Unplugged. Bob Boyer has been curating the series for a number of years now. When he took it over, it was losing money, but he's brought it back into the black, and now he wants to experiment with broadening the embrace of the series. In doing that, he's had to wrestle with what exactly is fine art in the 21st century. In his mind, fine art encompasses everything from classical to country, the Baroque and the blues, and this year, gospel music, sort of. The Blind Boys of Alabama, who've been making music for more than 70 years, began as a gospel quartet, but these days, as Bob Boyer says, well, it's kind of hard to pigeonhole them.
The way they do it is just so different and just an incredible piece of American music. I mean, I can't say anything more about it. They're just a group that has weathered every trend that's been out there and are still relevant today. Their latest CD, they were working with a lot of country musicians in Nashville. So they're kind of breaking away from that gospel kind of idea, but I'm not sure just exactly how gospel is with the Blind Boys. They do some very interesting things.
They're a bit like the Chieftains.
Exactly.
They're such an institution, you know, that it doesn't matter who plays with them. It ends up sounding like the Blind Boys.
Exactly. They're just a force of nature.
With the palm of his hand, Barnabas saw like a natural man. Then old blind Barnabas
stood on the way.
A blind Barnabas
stood on the way.
Old blind Barnabas
stood on the way.
Patton Performances focuses on three areas of the arts: music, theatre and dance. Every year they feature two dance groups and two theatre groups. Of the three, perhaps surprisingly, according to Bob Boyer, dance is the most popular.
We still play at the very highest levels of dance, simply because there is such a great dance audience in Chattanooga. Ballet Hispanico is another of these top-notch New York companies. It's not going to be quite the expected folklorico type. It's very contemporary, very interesting. The big thing about this group is not only their technical capability, but the choreographers that they're using from Latin America, some of the Caribbean islands and things like that. They're pulling together people that do incredible choreography. The colors, everything about this show is going to be phenomenal. This will be the first time they've been in Chattanooga. I don't think it'll be the last, but they're certainly just incredible. I've been talking with them some. They're very good people to work with. I'm expecting great things for this performance. Koresh Dance has been here before. They were here in 2002. They're one of the favorites, and this is kind of how we program dance, is we try to keep one company that our audience is familiar with in the season, and then we break in a new group. The quality of the new groups has been such in the past few years that I haven't had to worry about that so much, simply because we're playing at such a high level. Koresh is, again, in that high level, very contemporary dance, very much what the Chattanooga audience is looking for, so we're, again, just amazed at the dance, you know, what the dance season is going to be this year.
It sounds as if dance is the least of your gambles, huh?
Very much so. And one of the interesting things that I've noticed about performing arts in Chattanooga is just the vibrancy of the dance community. The fact that you have maybe half a dozen economically viable private companies teaching children how to dance from a very early age all the way up through high school and beyond, and then you've got the support at three of the big high schools with performing arts programs and dance programs. It's like sports with kids. You know, the parents go where the kids play, and when the kids get older, they begin to understand the benefits of what they've been doing, and their children become, so you have an audience building dynamic going on here in dance that is just incredible. There have been several of my friends around the country that have commented that they would kill for the audience that we have in Chattanooga.
In attempting to broaden the scope of the series, Bob Boyer has been looking for performers who are blurring the lines between the traditional and the contemporary approach in dance, theater, and music. The Sybarite Five is a good example, a string quintet, a standard string quartet, two violins, viola, and cello, along with a stand-up bassist. According to their website, the music they play pushes the envelope of concert music.
I heard them last September at the Performing Arts Exchange in Miami. That's an annual trade show. My wife was with me, and the two of us, I mean, literally our necks snapped 180 degrees when we heard these folks. There is such energy, such vitality. The breadth of their repertoire is incredible. They are one of these newer groups, newer classical groups, that is looking into reinterpreting new music and new popular music, not just, you know, Philip Glass kind of new music, but, you know, they're playing some Radiohead, they're playing some stuff, and they're playing it incredibly well. And I thought, we got to take a shot at these guys before they get to be so expensive we can't afford them. And that's kind of the thinking.
The two plays in this year's series mix the traditional and the contemporary. Fahrenheit 451, written by Ray Bradbury in the 1950s, addresses issues that are still being debated. The other, Tom Stoppard's Rosencrantz and Guildenstern, is his take on Shakespeare's Hamlet.
We got a lot of support from the English department in choosing these this year. The fact that we were able to find two good titles is, there just aren't that many theater companies touring. It's expensive. You have to have underwriting. I can't generate enough revenue to pay them what it really costs to tour. So it makes it very difficult, which in turn means it's difficult to find titles from the companies that are out there and put two of them together in a year that you think you can sell. And this is a title-driven community. So it's much less about who's performing and much more about what the title is. I'm looking forward to it. I'm a big fan of mid-20th century playwriting, so it tends to fit what I'm looking for a little more. We're always looking for a Shakespeare.
I was going to say.
Every other year you look for a Shakespeare title.
The classics a lot, don't you?
Yeah. We used to do one Shakespeare and one contemporary each year. It kind of has fallen off now to where we're looking for one Shakespeare every other year. This isn't exactly Shakespeare, but it's an incredible story based on Shakespeare. But we'll bring back the company out of Virginia that does the festival style Shakespeare, just so the audience gets another shot at how it was done back in the day. When back in the day means way back in the day.
The music in this year's series divides it almost evenly into thirds, with the Blind Boys opening the series in September, the Sybarite Five in the middle in January, and the much-heralded vibraphonist Stephen Harris, who played with San Francisco Jazz in the series a couple of years ago, returning with his own group Blackout to close the series in April.
Obviously, one of the finest vibraphone players ever, and certainly the best of his generation.
No doubt.
It's incredible. And like I say, if you saw the show a couple of years ago, you'll know just exactly why we're so excited about getting him back.
Thank you.
the long-term goal here is, if we can pull this off, is to maybe find a slot for a little more authentic music, people that might not fit the format, even as much as I'm trying to broaden the format of the Patton, that are really as good, but just don't quite fit that third, third, and a third format. And there needs to be a place for them. Rory Block has caught my ear. Is Rory someone I could really sell to the Patton? I don't know. But she certainly should, you know, be able to put a couple of hundred people in the seats on a Saturday night. That's the kind of artist that, you know, just add a little element of Merlefest or something to the offerings in a given year.
Well, it kind of comes back to what is fine art in the 21st right. century.
Exactly.
And I think the definition of what fine art is may be expanding a little bit.
It's expanding quite a bit. Mm-hmm. And I think it goes back to that, have you got something to say? And if you do, it's worth listening to. Might not always agree. Might love it. Might not like what's being said, but it's worth listening to. And I think that's what defines artists these days.
More details on the performers, ticket prices, and showtimes are on the UTC Fine Arts Center website or by telephone from the box office, 425-4269, Monday through Friday from 10 until 4. For WUTC's Around and About, I'm Richard Winham.